Welcome to The Catholic Files with Father Sean Donnelly, pastor of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio. These recordings form a special 9-part series exploring the Ten Commandments through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We begin with the first commandment, I, the Lord, am your God. You shall not have any other gods besides me. May these reflections strengthen your faith, deepen your understanding, and accompany you on your journey with Christ. And now here is Father Sean Donnelly.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Catholic Files. I'm Father Donnelly. I'm glad you're here. I'm particularly glad I was unable to do a podcast last week, so I'm back on the regular schedule. As we're continuing walking through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, covering what we believe, why we believe it, how it shapes the way we live. So, whether you're new to the Catechism or returning to study, this journey is for you. Let's start with a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful, and by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to be truly wise, ever to rejoice in his holy comfort. The same Christ, the Lord. Amen. We're now on in the fourth, I should say, the third section of the Catechism, which is on the moral life. So, presently, looking at the Ten Commandments, starting with the first one, of course, which is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve, which Jesus himself quoted. So, what do we mean by the first commandment? We shall not go after other gods, because other gods are false gods, for one thing. And we need to accept and worship and believe in the one true God. Very, very important. The one true God revealed himself initially to Israel. That's why we have the Old Testament. And this revelation was very needed for the world because people had fallen into various forms of paganism. A pagan believes in many gods, or at least in false gods. So we have the first commandment written on a stone tablet given to Moses with the other commandments. The first commandment embraces faith, hope, and charity. To believe in God, hope in him, and to love him. So these are very important applications of the first commandment. Our moral life has its source in faith in God who reveals his love for us. St. Paul refers to this as the obedience of faith. Romans 1 and Romans 16, you can look up those passages. And Paul also, in Romans 1, shows that the ignorance of God, meaning the true God, is the principle and explanation of all moral deviations. So our duty toward God is to believe in him and to bear witness to him. And it is important for us to nourish and protect our faith with prudence and vigilance and to reject everything that is opposed to it. So what are some things that are sins against faith? One is voluntary doubt. Voluntary doubt about the faith disregards or refuses to hold as true what God has revealed and the Church proposes for belief. Voluntary doubt. Now, involuntary doubt refers to hesitation in believing, difficulty in overcoming objections connected with the faith, or anxiety aroused by obscurity. It's the obscurity of the faith at some points. Now, if doubt is deliberately cultivated, it can result in spiritual blindness. Incredulity is also the neglect of revealed truth or the willful refusal to assent to it. Then we have heresy, which is the obstinate post-baptismal denial of some truth which must be believed with the fine and Catholic faith, such as somebody who denies that there is a trinity of persons, one God and three persons, Apostasy is the total repudiation of the Christian faith, and schism is the refusal of submission to the Roman pontiff or of communion with the members of the church subject to him. So that's breaking away from the church. So these are some sins against faith. Hope. Hope is a confident expectation of the divine blessing and the beatific vision of God. It's also fear of offending God's love and incurring punishment. So, sins against hope are despair and presumption. Despair means a man ceases to hope for his personal salvation and for attaining forgiveness for our sins, and presumption, which means a person presumes on his own capacities to be saved, and that we have, unfortunately, a great deal of presumption, apparently, evident in people who, I don't have to go to church, I'm a good person, this type of thing. In other words, I can save myself, I don't really need Jesus. I mean, apparently, it seems that that's what motivates some people not to live their faith. Presumption. Charity. Faith, hope, and charity. Charity means to love God above everything and all creatures for him and because of him, especially other people. And we love others as we love ourselves, so but God, the love for God is first. Sins against charity. Indifference, which means neglecting or refusing to reflect on divine charity. Ingratitude, failing or refusing to acknowledge divine charity and to return him with the Lord, love for love. Lukewarmness, spiritual sloth or hatred of God. These are all sins against charity. So the one God, him alone shall you serve. So charity leads us to render to God what we as creatures owe to him in all justice. The virtue of religion disposes us to have this attitude. Virtue of religion, or charity, disposes us to adore the true God, to acknowledge him as God, as the creator and savior, the Lord and master of everything that exists, as infinite and merciful love, which, of course, is very important, adoration. The worship of the one God sets man free from turning in on himself and from the slavery to sin and the idolatry of the world. So we acknowledge, respect, and with absolute submission as creatures of the Lord that we are, that we would not exist but for God. So we praise him and exalt him. We humble ourselves as Mary did in the Magnificat, confessing with gratitude that he has done great things for us. Holy is his name. Adoration. Prayer. The acts of faith, hope, and charity enjoined by the first commandment are accomplished in prayer. We lift up our minds toward God as an expression of our adoration of him. Prayer of praise and thanksgiving, intercession and petition. Prayer is an indispensable condition for being able to obey God's commandments. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. Sacrifice. It is right to offer sacrifice to God as a sign of adoration and gratitude, supplication, and communion. Outward sacrifice, to be genuine, must be an expression of spiritual sacrifice. Now, the only perfect sacrifice ever offered was one Jesus offered on the cross on our behalf, an offering perfectly acceptable to the Father for our salvation. And his offering, of course, is represented in each Mass. It's the only historical act that is made present in the world. And Jesus established it that way on purpose. And we're supposed to make our lives a sacrifice to God, which we can do, especially uniting ourselves with Christ, who is our great high priest. So, sometimes we get now into promises and vows. A Christian is called to make promises to God. We have baptismal promises, which means rejecting sin and Satan, and then embracing the articles of the creed. Matrimony carries with it promises that are made, and even holy orders contain certain promises that the man adverts to or professes. So, fidelity to promises made to God is a sign of a respect to the divine majesty and love for Him. These are promises. Some people are called to make vows, which is an act of devotion in which the Christian dedicates himself to God or promises some good work. And such as the vows taken by religious, poverty, chastity, and obedience. So, our faith, very important, and our love for the true God, and our hope in Him. Another aspect is concerned with, as the Catechism tells us, everyone is bound to seek the truth, especially in what concerns God and His church, and to embrace it and hold to it as they come to know it. It stems from the very dignity of the human person. So, we are mindful of our need as creatures of God to relate to Him as such, and that we enjoy a certain amount of religious liberty, which is good. I mean, some countries don't have any. People get in trouble for going to Mass or whatever, or even worse. So, public authorities are supposed to allow for people to practice their faith. And sometimes what happens, like for example in China, the government is kind of taking the place of God, at least in its own mind, which is sad, you know. So we have to be mindful of praying for a public official to that effect. Now, you shall have no other gods before me. This is part of the first commandment. And what are some examples of having false gods? Well, one is called superstition. Superstition is a perverse excess of religion, so to speak. It's the opposite of irreligion, which is a defect in the practice of the virtue of religion. So, a superstitious person attributes the efficacy of his prayers or other actions that he performs to their external performance, apart from interior dispositions that they demand. So, for example, a person who wants to have blessed candles in his house or a priest to bless his house, I mean, I'm talking about a Catholic person, because he's kind of aware of the fact that there may be evil spirits that he wants to be protected from, but the same person at the same time doesn't go to church at all. So what he's doing is he's seizing upon one aspect of the religion. He's like putting his toe in the water, dabbling with it. He's superstitious. He's not really a religious person. Now, if he were a good, solid Catholic, went to Mass on a regular basis, and confession, and prayed every day, and yes, you know, he's using blessed candles, well, okay, at least, you know, he's not getting carried away with one little aspect of what we're about. Another example of having false gods is idolatry. That means we neither believe in or venerate or serve other divinities than the one true God. Mainly, there aren't other divinities. Idolatry not only refers to false pagan worship, it remains a constant temptation to faith. Idolatry consists in divinizing what is not God. Man commits idolatry whenever he honors and reveres a creature in place of God, whether this be gods or demons, for example, Satanism, power, pleasure, race, ancestors, or the state, money. And there's plenty of idolatry in the world. In fact, probably one can make a case that the most pervasive sin in the world is idolatry. Because many people put so many things in place of God. They live for things that are not God. Human life finds its unity in the adoration of the one God. The commandment to worship the Lord alone integrates man and saves him from an endless disintegration. Idolatry is a perversion of man's innate religious sense. An idolater is someone who transfers his indestructible notion of God to anything other than God. Divination and magic, these are other sins against the religion, the true religion. In other words, having an unhealthy curiosity about things, like, for example, future events, and trusting in such things as divination, recourse to Satan or demons, conjuring up the dead or other practices that are falsely supposed to unveil the future, consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, the phenomena of clairvoyance and the recourse to mediums all conceal a desire for power over time, history, and in the last analysis, other human beings, as well as a wish to conciliate hidden powers. All practices of magic or sorcery, and we don't mean by magic, we don't mean white, so-called white magic or magic tricks. We're talking about devilish types of magic. All practices of magic or sorcery by which one attempts to attain occult powers so as to place them at one service and have a supernatural power over others, even if this were for the sake of restoring their health, are gravely contrary to the virtue of religion. So these are things that violate the commandment not to have false gods before us. Irreligion. God's first commandment condemns the main sin of irreligion, tempting God in words, deeds, sacrilege, and simony. Tempting God consists of putting his goodness and almighty power to the test by word or deed. Sacrilege consists in profaning or treating unworthily the sacraments and other liturgical actions, as well as persons, things, or places consecrated to God. Sacrilege is a grave sin, especially when committed against the Eucharist, for in this sacrament, the true body of Christ is made substantially present for us. Simony is defined as buying or selling spiritual things. So it's, we have to be careful. eBay will sell with a claim or a relics. But my prayer is that the bishops' conference will make some kind of a statement to that effect, that we're not really supposed to be buying things of that sort. If they're even real, that's another thing. But at any rate, another sin against religion is atheism. Atheism must be regarded as one of the most serious problems of our time. The name atheism covers very many phenomena. One common form is practical materialism, which restricts its needs and aspirations to space and time. Atheistic humanism falsely considers man to be an end in himself and soul maker with supreme control of his own history. Another form of contemporary atheism looks for the liberation of man through economic and social liberation. It holds that religion of its very nature thwarts such emancipation by raising man's hopes in a future life, thus both deceiving him and discouraging him from working for a better form of life on earth. Interestingly enough, people who don't believe in heaven, as John Lennon, the famous Beatles song went, are people who, because of their unbelief, make the world into a godless place. I mean, it doesn't work. We need to have true faith and to aspire to the good things the Lord has in store for us. That heaven is not here. Heaven, it will be in the life to come. But the best people, conversely, the best people in the world are the ones that justify its continued existence and are the 11 throughout the world are holy people. So godless people are really a very destructive force in the world. They don't make the world what it's supposed to be. Notwithstanding the rhetoric about we don't need heaven, it's just a matter of trying to make the world a better place. Well, once you throw God out of the picture, you're not going to do it. It will not happen that the world will be made a better place. Since it rejects or denies the existence of God, atheism is a sin against the virtue of religion. Another one, a sin against the virtue of religion, is agnosticism, which comes in a number of forms. The agnostic can refrain from denying, may refrain from denying God, but postulates the existence of a transcendent being which is incapable of revealing itself, and about which nothing can be said. So we say, well, God exists, but we know nothing about him. Well, that's agnosticism, but that simply isn't true. In other cases, the agnostic makes no judgment about God's existence, declaring it impossible to prove or even to affirm or deny. So the agnostic is completely ignorant of or denies revelation. Agnosticism can sometimes include a certain search for God, but can equally express indifferentism, a flight from the ultimate question of existence, and a sluggish moral conscience. Agnosticism is all too often equivalent to practical atheism. Then we have You shall not make for yourself graven images. Now, the reason for that was because at the time, the Lord had not yet revealed himself. He was not going to allow the people to decide his image. You know, the golden calf does not represent in any way, shape, or form God, the true God. It had to do with pagan religiosity being brought on by the Israelites in that respect. The pagan idol does not represent the true God. So we have God sending his son. We have God with a human face, Jesus. So Jesus is a legitimate incarnation. He's the only incarnation of God. And it opened the door to being able to picture him through painting or whatever it might be on a regular basis. And then the saints, you know, reflect Jesus in their own way. And as we use photographs of people who are dear to us, we're not worshiping the photograph. It's the people who are pictured that have our admiration or our love. It's the same thing in the church. We have images. It's not the image that is sacred in and of itself. It's what the image represents. So there's nothing wrong with the way we're making use of them. But the ancient Israelites were not allowed to come up with their own concept, their visual concept of God, because it was not yet time for him to reveal himself. So I'm happy you were able to listen today. God bless you all. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. We sincerely hope and pray that this recording from the Catholic Files podcast, featuring Father Sean Donnelly of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio, reflecting on the Ten Commandments through the teachings of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, draws you ever closer to the loving heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments are not merely rules. They are a roadmap to holiness, a guide to living in right relationship with God and with our neighbors. As you listen, allow your heart to be open to God's grace. Let His truth illuminate your mind, and let His love transform your soul. For those seeking to deepen their faith, we invite you to explore more of the Catholic Files weekly podcast with Father Donnelly at www.iccmadison.com. And whether you are near or far, know that the Church, Christ's living body, is always welcoming you to encounter Him through the celebration of the Holy Mass. Please download these audios to share with your friends and family. May these reflections on the Ten Commandments inspire you to live with integrity, humility, and joy. And always carry in your heart the greatest of all commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole mind. Let this commandment guide your actions, your thoughts, and your prayers each day. For in loving God fully, we learn to love others as He has loved us. Thank you for listening. May God fill your life with His peace, surround you with His love, and guide you always on the path of faith and holiness. May the joy of Christ dwell in your heart today and every day.